going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. The Texans trade out of the first round last night. 25th overall pick they went into the night with. They leave the night with the 34th overall pick, which will be the second pick tonight. In the process, they pick up another third-round pick, 99th overall. They'll use that tonight, possibly. And then a third-round pick in 2026. So the net of all of it is they've got five picks tonight. They didn't pick anybody last night, but they've got two second-round picks, three third-round picks tonight, and they've got extra seconds, thirds, and fourths in next year's draft, which we'll talk about the draft inventory and what it means, but the specific players that were flying off the board last night that at times you were probably looking at the TV screen going, oh, man, he's available. Boy, I hope I see the Texans at the bottom of the screen here with a trade up to get this guy. That was me. I was like that for sure. We're going to go through each of the individual guys that maybe we're feeling some FOMO over today, that they're not Houston Texans. A lot of techs weighing in on this as well. Before we get to both of those things, here was Nick Caserio talking about the Texans' strategy last night.
Not like, I would say middle to upper teens, like start to look a little bit like, all right, what are we looking at? What are our options? All right, where are some of these teams? And trying to kind of get an idea. As again, not wait till 25. I'd say some teams had a pretty good idea in that 18, 19, 20, they were potentially looking to move out. So then it's, all right, who are you moving out for? What are you doing? What do you have to give up? So those are all the things. I know we didn't pick, but like we probably were more active and had as many discussions as any draft has been a part of. So that's the thing about, and we've talked about this, everything's fluid. You just got to be flexible. You got to be adaptable. You got to be ready to move. Got to take the information. You have a pretty good sense or feel for what you think's going on the rest of the league. I mean, honestly, a lot of the guys that were picked and where they were picked didn't surprise us. They may have surprised some other people because they weren't thought of to go that high. But honestly, I mean, D'Amico and I talked before the draft, and we said, and I've talked to even some agents, this guy's going to go way higher than people think he's going to go. And they agreed, and, you know, we were right. Doesn't mean we're right on everything. It just means we had a sense and a feel for maybe how we thought this was going
to
go.
Who is the player he's referring to there?
Tyler Booker.
100%.
Tyler Booker, 100%. You're gonna, Tyler Booker. Because and if Nick had taken Tyler Booker at 25, the ironic thing is a huge chunk of people amongst Texans fans would have crushed Nick for reaching for Tyler Booker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for caring more about swarm traits than anything else. Know this, as much as you hate the Cowboys are really, really good at drafting. That's why they're still a credible football team.
Yeah.
Is because they're really, really good at drafting.
That's right.
And they take Tyler Booker 12th overall. I think that what Nick alluded to there, where around the high teens is when they started maybe aggressively thinking about trading up, Gray Zabel goes at 18.
Yep.
And you look at the players at positions of need or that had been linked to the Texans that were still out there. Gray Zabel, Emeka Ebuka, Matthew Golden, Donovan Jackson. You got four guys there in the next six or seven picks or so that the math doesn't quite add up. So you want to just get up a few spots so that one of those guys, if those are the guys he had identified,
yeah,
and maybe they like Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he ended up being gone. It makes sense that I bet the Gray Zabel, there's a good chance the Gray Zabel selection by the Seahawks is what triggered really wanting to move up a little bit.
Yeah,
that was the run on guys that they liked was starting to start.
And the price was not what Nick thought, you know, was in line with moving up to get those guys. We'll talk about the specific players that the Texans missed out on, possibly. Definitely missed out on. They're not Houston Texans today. You know what how the Texans graded them, we have no idea. But we know how we graded them and how much we wanted these guys. I do want to read a few texts because these are good lead-ins here. I don't think the Texans is a text message. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Don't think the Texans got fleeced, but I also don't like the strategy of bringing in middle-of-the-road players for competition. That doesn't improve the talent level markedly. The Patriot way strikes again.
Right. I get it. I understand what you're saying, but this is the problem. And this is where I actually admire Nick. It's that Nick, as are most good GMs, are way less arrogant about their ability to say who is and is not a good player than a lot of people following the draft.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Kamari Lassiter was just an average upgrade. I'm sorry, I don't realize that Kalen Bullock doesn't have a whole lot of promise. Right. I didn't realize that those guys aren't markedly improving the young talent on your team.
Yeah.
It really is a matter of, and you don't find out really for 2 or 3 or 4 years on a lot of guys. It's just to believe that somehow the 25th pick, top tier talent.
Yeah.
But the 34th pick is like, oh, what a bum.
Nailed it.
Well, that's just depth and competition.
Yep.
Like, it's honestly, Sean, the whole thought of, like, you know, the people beforehand telling me Josh Simmons won't be available at 25. Oh, you get Tyler Booker in the second round. This is the kind of arrogance that leads nations to lose wars. And this is what leads to financial collapses.
It's
this unfounded arrogance that you know exactly how these guys are going to play out.
Right. Yeah. It's not like
over yourself, humanity.
It's not like they traded out of 5 to go down to 34. It's the 25th and the 34th guy. Like, Tyler Booker himself was going anywhere from 12 to 45 in mock drafts. Like, nobody knows. Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll roll right into Ukraine. It'd be no big deal. Probably be over in 3 days.
Yeah. Here's a text message. It's, I think, a good lead into what you and I are about to talk about here. Good morning, guys. Seth, I had 3 punches in the gut in this draft.
Okay.
Booker going to the Cowboys.
Ugh.
The Bucks taking Ibuka when they already had 2 good wide receivers on their team.
Godwin with a horrific injury, though.
I think that's you're right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. That is a tell as to maybe where Godwin is physically right now. And then the third one was Green Bay taking Golden so close to our pick. What was your, of all the guys, Tyler Booker, the names.
Oh, Tyler Booker by far.
Tyler Booker, Donovan Jackson, Matthew Golden, Kelvin Banks, Ibuka, all of them. Tyler Booker is the biggest one for you.
In terms of Tyler Booker being a guy that just fits exactly what the Texans are hoping to do on the offensive line is change the culture, not just upgrade the talent. People gush and gush and gush. Daniel Jeremiah said that Tyler Booker has gotten more gushing over his intangibles than anybody other than Will Anderson, really. Like, so people love him. He plays with physicality. And you go back to scouting reports before the combine, and the people that were watching Tyler Booker did not cite his athleticism as an issue. They didn't say that his athleticism was a plus. But then he tests poorly at the combine, and all of a sudden, all these guys that thought Tyler Booker was going to go midway through the first round downgraded him to a high second-round pick. Yeah, Tyler Booker hurts because it was – and the Cowboys are really good at drafting. That's what they are very good at drafting. They have a harder time retaining and re-signing and all that and avoiding paternity suits. But that was a kick in the gut. Yeah. I think the Texans – we're really hoping to get Tyler Booker, or at least it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and so for you, that was the one where you're like, oh.
And then he went that high. He went 12th overall.
He went 12th. Now, the Texans have moved up from 25 to 12 before to get Deshaun Watson. It cost them a first-round pick. Would you have given up? I wouldn't have given up a first-round pick to go get Tyler Booker, but would you have? What would you have given up in the moment if you could move up and
I
get
don't, look, Tyler I Booker? Don't know. Dude, I'm awful with the trade.
Are you okay?
Stuff.
Gotcha. Tyler Booker was a big one for me. The biggest one for me was Matthew Golden. You guys know I wanted Matthew Golden. That was the guy that I wanted. He slips the 2 junctures in the draft where I'm like, okay, the parts of the draft where I was most concerned about Matthew Golden getting taken, Seth, were at Dallas at 12. So them taking Booker there, for me, there was a, you know, there's a consolation prize. Like, all right, they didn't take Matthew Golden. They need a wide receiver, the Cowboys do. They need weapons. Arizona at, I believe the Arizona's at 16, 17, somewhere in there. 16, because yeah. The Bengals picked 17. Arizona was one that he was getting mocked to quite a bit. And then that little Denver, that Denver Chargers early 20s area, right? I thought once he got past the Chargers at 22, I was really optimistic that Matthew Golden was going to be there at 25 for the Texans. And when the Packers, Packers went and took him, and that was the biggest when Matt Murphy, or Michael Murphy, whatever his first name is, the president of the Packers, Mr. Murphy, when he said with the 23rd pick, the Packers do something we haven't done since 2002 or whatever it is, I'm like, oh, they're taking a wide receiver, and it's Matthew Golden. Just say his name. Stop. Just say his name and get it over with for me. Kick me now. All right.
I was like, yeah, I'm standing on the hangman's platform. Like, all right, I don't need a flowery speech. Yeah. All right, just put the hood over my head and let me drop.
That's mine. Yeah. So mine is Golden. Yours is Booker. What about these other guys? What was your FOMO level on these other guys?
Matthew Golden was a kick in the nargs because I had allowed myself to dream.
Yeah.
He was sitting there. He was sliding. You're looking at, okay, who might draft a wide receiver? I don't know. The Packers have a history. Ah, hey, the Vikings are doing just fine with their Justin Jeffersons and whatnot. That was a kick just because of the – I had allowed myself to dream. That was like holding a lottery ticket for a $1 billion prize.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about all the...
Everything you're going to buy.
Yeah, yeah. All the things you're going to do for your mom and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, honestly, this is a weird one, but in reverse, or is retroactively, Josh Connerly and Josh Simmons. Oh, no, wait. First, Donovan Jackson, obviously.
Right
Donovan
before.
Jackson.
Yeah,
Donovan right. Jackson was... there. You're sitting right there. Like, okay, all the guys that you'd really identified, yeah. There's still one remaining. It's come down to this. It's you're at the finish, and boom, there he goes.
What would we be saying this morning if Donovan Jackson had gotten to the Texans and they took him at 25?
I would say I'd be excited about it. I think a lot of people, again, kind of like with Tyler Booker, people had him as a potential early second rounder. So there would be people criticizing Nick for it. I had identified him as a guy that I felt good about.
Mm-hmm.
And like most of the guys at 25, I felt good about, but there are guys who are also going 25 for a reason. So I would have felt really good about it because I think it was just a step in the right direction. I wouldn't like project that he's going to be an absolute game changer mm-hmm. or what have you, but it was a guy that many people had identified and that Daniel Jeremiah had linked to the Texans with a lot of confidence. I would have felt like, all right, boy, they played it down to the wire, but the strategy worked out. They got one of the guys they had identified.
Yeah, Jackson. When Donovan Jackson got picked, that's when I said, there's a good chance they trade here. We've been talking about it on this show for the last 2 weeks, which is that the Texans, especially as Shedeur Sanders' stock began to drop over the last couple weeks, and Jackson Dart's stock was going up from the second round into the back end of the first round, we've been saying it on this show, which is 25 is a primo spot if quarterbacks are slipping to the back end of the first round. That's sort of the beginning of the chunk of the draft where teams are going to start to think about moving up into to get that extra year of team control with the fifth-year option that you get on first-round picks. And bingo, that's exactly how it played out. All the guys that the Texans seemingly probably were very high on were off the board. There's still a couple guys. Nick even said himself, there's at least one guy they thought about taking at 25 instead of doing that trade that's sitting there right now on the board still. But the once all these guys that we're talking about flew off the board, the trading back thing to me became – it was obviously very viable. My gut reaction to what they got, the two-thirds at first, was, I thought they'd get a little more than that. I got to see how the math works out on the Jimmy Johnson chart. And it turns out the math works out fine on it.
The math works out fine. It just in the immediate moment, too, where, as I've told you, I let the nerds do the work for me on the trade chart stuff because I always plug in some number. Everybody, I messed up 3-. I messed up 4-2.
Earlier today.
This show.
Yeah.
34-32. I messed that math up. So as far as the trade value – a lot of people in the moment thought, oh my gosh, look at what the Rams got. How the hell did the Texans get bilked by this? No, the Giants are being widely panned for spending as much as they did to move up.
Yeah.
I give them a pass because it was a quarterback. Yeah. But the Texans won. The Texans get back the equivalent of a late third round pick with that trade. So the trade value worked out. It's just that the Rams really put one over. They got the equivalent of an extra high third round pick. An extra high third
round
pick.
From the Falcons. For those who don't know what Seth's talking about, the very next pick, the Rams traded out as well, and in the process from the Falcons, amongst all the chum of draft picks that got traded in that, there was a first-rounder in there. The optics of getting a first-rounder is what's helping the Rams there, too.
But the Texans get the equivalent of a high third-round pick, so it's like the trade value made sense. Yeah. That part of it made sense.
Yeah, what about the other? So you and I are in agreement. The Tyler Booker pick at 12, that hurt in the moment. The Matthew Golden pick at 23, that hurt greatly in the moment, especially for me. Donovan Jackson at 24, that hurt. That, to me, was the trigger, though, where I go, okay, well, I think they're moving here. What else, either
for
before
me,
or after the Texans?
So Kelvin Banks goes off the board, and the fact that he was the third offensive tackle taken, there was a part of me, after the first two guys go, after Embu and
Will
there
and
Will goes.
Will Campbell and Armon Membu, yeah.
That I was like, okay, you know what? If Kelvin Banks maybe slides a little bit down towards 15 or 16, maybe we're in action here. Yeah. But I never really felt like the Texans had a chance for Kelvin Banks unless he slid further than people expected.
Yep.
That one, because Kelvin Banks worked out where people expected him to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Tip of the cap to the draft heads. So I really would have liked to have him. The one that hurt retroactively was after the pick is made and I'm sitting there and I'm thirsting for either a wide receiver or an offensive lineman. I thought, man, if no offensive linemen get taken between the 25th pick and the end of the first round, I'll feel even better about the Texans' chance to really revamp the offensive line room. So when Josh Connerly and Josh Simmons both went, there was a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Simmons less so for me. That injury is the combination of the injury and the maturity issues. It's that Simmons went to Kansas City that bugged me more than losing out on Simmons, because that is a place where I feel like he's going to go and he's probably going to be pretty good. He'll have time to kind of, you know, it would be different certainly than if Josh Simmons went to one of the teams picking near the top of the second round today. He'd be asked to be a starter right away probably.
I think from a pettiness perspective, some of the things that were a kick in the gut were also I was a little bit happy about, because I'm sure I'm going to be getting all of the apologies from the people who adamantly insisted that Josh Simmons would be gone well before pick 25, that you could have gotten Emeka Ebuka in the second round, or you could have gotten Tyler Booker in the second round.
Yeah.
I'm sure the apologies are just flowing into my inbox and my DMs right now. Arrogant Fs. You don't know.
Yeah. No, you don't know. You don't know. So the people weighing in. Okay, so let's get to some of the opinions here on the text page on what the Texans did last night. What did you say? I think you echoed what my buddy John
said. You said 75%.
Yeah, John. So John, my buddy John, who's in the YouTube chat every day, said that it's about 75-25 people looking to jump off a bridge.
Yeah,
at 75, and it's he said Abigail's the one leading the way in the chat.
Abigail's very measured.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I would say Abigail's a realist.
Okay.
And okay, so I'm gonna have to go in and look. I gotta stay off chats when I'm this sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And moments like this, because I get too distracted.
Yep.
But I'll have to check and see if Abigail is freaking out. Honestly.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a canary in the coal mine.
I gotta
check my blind spots.
Okay. Here's some of the texts. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Texans are overthinking it. I disagree with that. I mean, I think there's a method to every. I
don't know. No, this is where I honestly. One thing Nick said last night is I think the appropriate way for GMs to look at it, they don't look at rounds. They look at actual position on the draft board.
Yeah.
And if you think, like, if you're that confident, there's a gigantic chasm between 25 and 34, that at 25 you've got a culture changer, and that at 34 that's just a bum like Kamari Lassiter, I guess.
Right,
okay.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
like
right.
It's just your odds are better. Your odds are better at 25 in any given year.
Yeah.
This year the Texans feel like there's just not as much difference between 25 and 34 as perhaps in other years.
You know who went 34 last year, Seth? Ladd McConkey. He went 34 last year.
Yeah. Well, I'm because you run into the hazards of sounding like Jack Easterby here and acting like, actually, it's better to pick It's better to pick 34 because you don't have to pay him as much. I'm not going that far with it. But, especially with wide receivers, the number of really good second and third round wide receivers, that holds true. That's been a trend for a while now.
Someone says, in Nick we trust. That's the very next text after he's overthinking it. To your point about the money, someone's asking, could trading out of the first round also been about cap considerations in the future? Obviously, you're not going to pay whoever you're taking today as much as you would be paying somebody you take at 25. I say no. I don't think it's any consideration.
No, I don't want to say it's pocket change, but it's negligible.
Yeah, no, it's a beneficial byproduct of it. Yeah, they're going to pay less for these guys they take today, but I would be willing to almost guarantee.
They actually get extra picks, though, too. So they get...
They got more guys to pay. So, I think it's zero consideration here. Good morning, fellas. What are y'all's thoughts? Who do you think we take at 34? We have not talked much about that other than your mention of the fun possible Travion Henderson scenario.
Yeah, you know, the one... I think the part where it gets interesting is at offensive tackle, where the kid out of Minnesota, whose name I always screw up.
Looking at it right now. It's Ursary
out of Minnesota. So Ursary's not a great athlete. He doesn't look like a first-round offensive tackle, but he's 6'6", 330 pounds. He's a massive human being. He played in a scheme in Minnesota that was very outside zone-based, probably better suited for a really athletic offensive lineman. I don't know if they would take him with the 34th pick overall, but when you're looking at offensive tackles, perhaps, he might be a guy that makes a lot of sense if the Texans want to be more of a...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Smash Mouth football team that they might go after. And then, you know, Tate Ratledge out of Georgia at guard, Marcus Embo out of Purdue, Miles Frazier out of LSU. Like, those are guys, if you're looking at offensive linemen, I think those guys are very, very possible.
Yeah, the other tackles, Ursary is the top-rated tackle. If you're looking at other tackles, Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College, who I've heard Bill O'Brien gush about in some of the interviews I've done. Charles Grant, the kid from William & Mary, is on the board. Texans had him in for a visit. Not at 34, probably, but maybe at 58, something like that, you know?
Okay, so now this is the other thing, too, is that, you know, when GMs say they take the best player available, there's always a little bit of tweaking and massaging there in that they organize their board also based on what the role of a player might be. So I think there's a really good chance that if they stay at 34, the guy that's still available that the Texans felt, they said, Sarah said there's a guy out there
that they thought was
worth taking at 25.
Yeah.
They passed on him. I'm guessing maybe it wasn't a position of need. And Travion Henderson is just... he's sitting right there at his draft party, waiting for his parents. He's helping his parents clean up the draft party from last night now, and they're getting ready to go again. And Travion Henderson is there. I'm not going to be ultra surprised if they take Travion Henderson just because they might really like his talent, but they thought, all right, at 25, we've already got a running back. We want to get somebody that it's very possible.
Well, and they may still see wide receiver and O-line as something where, hey, we got 58, 79, 89, and 99. So we've got either four picks we can use to get guys there, or we can bundle a couple of those third-round picks to move up into the second round to go target a guy like that.
And Travion Henderson, look, like college stats are whatever, but 7.1 yards per carry on a very, very potent offense, but runs angry. Yeah. Runs angry. Well, just like sometimes it looks like he prefers to deliver the blow than elude it, and yet he keeps his speed up through contact. So, boy, that would be split, man. Some people would be super excited about Travion Henderson. There's others going to despise that pick if that's who they take.
I would be excited. I think that them having five picks today, second and third round, does increase the chances of them coming away with a running back today.
And you know, the other part of Travion Henderson that I know people don't like talking about at all, but where he could potentially be better than Joe Mixon is in pass protection.
Yeah.
Like he squares up, he delivers a blow. Joe Mixon is not as that great of a pass protector. Travion Henderson has the potential to be.
Bucks taking Abuka seemed to throw things off kilter in the draft last night. It was a bit of a surprise. I hadn't seen Abuka going anywhere above 20 in the draft.
Well, I think Abuka's another guy that when Nick said, man, some of these mock drafts that just, you know, like you're looking at it and nobody's thinking that these guys are going to go high.
Yeah.
But Nick's getting intel from agents and whatnot that, no, they're definitely going to go high.
Mm-hmm.
I think Emeka Abuka and Tyler Booker are probably two of the guys he was thinking about. I'm guessing it wasn't a huge surprise to Nick that Abuka went to the Bucks, especially given Godwin's injury situation.
Right. Well, Nick's pretty plugged. I mean, Nick talks to a lot of people.
The agents give a lot of that. The agents you can trust, at least, that aren't just trying to blow smoke.
Any thoughts on Luther Burden? This is a text message. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Any thoughts on Luther Burden still being on the board?
I think that Luther Burden being on the board isn't a huge surprise. And I think this is there's a little bit of a projection just because of the offense that he played in. And that's where people just kind of wonder about him. I think that's very possible, though. I think Luther Burden maybe Luther Burden's the guy they were talking about.
Maybe.
That would be the one that people would be most happy and excited about. I think Luther Burden has a kind of an electric athleticism to him that Abuka, and I think more so than there's a suddenness to Burden that Matthew Golden doesn't necessarily have. He's a smaller guy, but we've seen that the Texans aren't afraid of drafting smaller guys at wide receiver. That might be the leader in the clubhouse right now, Luther Burden.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now he is the one who has the girlfriend who's his manager and the mom that kind of hangs around a lot. And he's a Sunday guy, but not a Monday through Saturday guy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't worry about it. Remember, people had questions about Derek Stingley and whether he had whether his father was too much of a, you know, too much of an over, you know, like a guy too heavily involved.
Right.
Which that can go both directions. You can either be, hey, sometimes Earl Woods did pretty well by his son.
For sure.
Or it could be like Marinovich's father.
I guess the thing I would point out there, it would be that that pick was made before D'Amico was in the building. You know, how does D'Amico view that?
Yeah.
That pick was made in the Lovie Smith year. How influential is D'Amico in things like the parents being overbearing and the guy not practicing hard and stuff like that?
Well, the girlfriend part of it is the one that freaks me out. Look, lots of moms are super involved. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
All right. Lamar Jackson's mom turns out to be one of the best agents in the NFL.
Yeah, eventually.
So I don't worry about the parents as much. Girlfriend freaks me out.
Yeah.
They're too young. Unless he's dating a 47-year-old CFO. If I find out that he's dating a 47-year-old CFO,
you're cool with
then I'm cool with it. Okay. Yeah, but if his girlfriend is the same age as him and she's like heavily involved in the process, I'm a little bit
big
nervous.
Big red flag. I got you.
Yeah.
There were no that I saw. You and I think both watched the same feed. We were both watching ESPN. I didn't watch the NFL Network. But I didn't see any, you know, girlfriend draft night Hall of Fame worthy interplay like we did with Will Levis's girlfriend last year.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend trying to look at his phone.
They weren't giving a lot of drama at all, positive or negative. They really just weren't showing the family at all.
No.
And I'll tell you another annoying thing on the ESPN broadcast. They were tiptoeing around any and all kinds of character concerns, except for when they were lambasting anybody who had questioned the greatness of Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, then they were kind of just really, like when Walter Nolan was drafted, they would say like, well, hey, you know, he's got good veterans on the team that can help him learn how to play like a pro.
Yeah.
They would allude to it that there might be some maturity concerns with Walter Nolan, but they wouldn't flat out come out and say it.
I didn't see this year too where they were doing that thing. And maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. Like once a guy got picked, then I was back on my computer until I started hearing, you know, the chimes and whatever. But they were getting clowned yesterday. People were bringing up old graphics of players that had gotten drafted in the past, Seth, where they'd show the player's face after he got drafted. Like the player's face is on the left side of the screen. Then they'd have like three bullet pointed facts about the player, like, you know, led FBS in touchdown passes, five-star recruit out of high school. And then for a lot of guys, the third one would be some super morbid thing, like mom died of the Mutaba virus back in 2012. Like,
and it's just there on a bullet point.
They're just bulleted
bullet
next to touchdown passes there. Like,
they got so much guff for the year that they went full into the sob story side of things.
Yeah.
That now they're just
generic.
Like, lost 27 members of his family in a church bus accident.
Likes
cats.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Is right-handed. Yeah.
Jaden Higgins would be a guy that I'd be curious about because I think he's been going late second round. But the comp on him is a Nico Collins.
The
Nico Collins being a comp for Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver out of Iowa State. That would be one that I think people would be lambasting because it's above his projected value. Yet at the same time, man, Nick in identifying Nico Collins as a guy outside the first round that has those physical traits, Jaden Higgins looks a lot like that.
Optimists would do what you just said about the Nico comp, and you're right. Pessimists would be like, that guy's going 57 in every mock, and we took him at 34. Text message to Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. This is a good one. I think what hurts the fan base in this draft is the C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson draft set an expectation of fireworks, and this first round was a whimper. And I thought about that last night, like, man, they are never going to replicate. Hopefully they don't have to replicate it. Hopefully they're not picking second and third in the draft anytime soon. We've not mentioned the draft party yet last night.
Yeah, what happened, Sean?
I texted with a few of my friends who were out there, and they said people were not happy. Now, let's add in the fact that it was pouring rain last night at various times.
So it's pouring rain, and because it's the 25th pick, people are sticking around.
They're sticking around. Yeah.
And they're at work this morning.
right. So you're waiting around for something that feels promised to you, even though it's not. We pointed out several times they could trade out of that pick. Yeah, I don't blame people for not being happy about it. You're standing outside for the better part of 4 hours. You know, the doors opened at 6:30, and the 25th pick rolls around at 10 o'clock, you know?
Well, plus, Sean, you know what? I don't look at the Texans fan base as being spoiled because of the fireworks. four times in the last 6 years they haven't had a first round pick.
That's correct. Yeah.
I mean, the F them picks scenario of the Rams was, at the very least, you got an immediate payoff on this. But we've been going since 2020 with not even having a first round pick in 2/3 of the draft.
That's right.
It gets a little tiring. So just go ahead and win a Super Bowl this year, okay?
Yeah, can we
so
do
we can
that?
Make fun T-shirts.
So we can
I don't feel like the Texans have earned a bleep them picks T-shirt yet.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, the Texans are rolling in, man. This is my question to the Texans, is what if you're somebody who's upset with what the Texans did last night, trading out of the first round? What can they do tonight that would get you back on board with this draft? You know, you're out on it so far because you wanted them to do something in the first round. What can they do tonight that would make you feel like, okay, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. You know, maybe yeah. I should have waited till the end of day two. I'm curious what that would be for people.
I think that for a lot of people, it's going to be Luther Burden, because I think there were some people Corey Barrett there and a few other people that are very active liked Luther Burden more than Matthew Golden.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously also have that hometown appeal of any Longhorns that have watched Matthew Golden play that people really liked Matthew
His
Golden.
His walkout song was a Bun B Pimp C song also.
That's that, right. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That
yeah, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, just to add to more misery about how few, I forgot. Yeah, it's actually, the ratio is even worse. Five times out of the last seven drafts, the Texans have not had a first round pick.
Yeah, 2018, they didn't have one either. Yeah. That's pretty wild, dude.
That's nuts. That's got to be approaching some kind of a record.
It would be five out of the last eight because they drafted Titus in the first round in 2019. They had a first rounder in 2019, 2022, and 2023. Other than that, their last first round pick before that was Deshaun Watson in 2017. So,
baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Five out of the last eight.
Five out of the last eight, yeah. Okay. There were no girlfriend or wife things going on, but yeah, somebody points out on the text page, a baby did puke last night when I don't know if that was Kelvin Banks III that was sitting next to him. There was a baby sitting on a lap of some woman sitting next to Kelvin Banks. It was a baby. I don't know whose baby it was, but there was a baby sitting next to Kelvin Banks when he found out he got drafted by New Orleans, who within 2 seconds, like, visibly spit up.
Yeah, tell us how you feel, kid.
Exactly, man.
Hot take. Okay. Poor behavior by that infant. Unacceptable. Where are the parents?
Right there.
No, the biggest where are the parents moment, I felt bad for this dude. During the national anthem, I think I was watching on the NFL broadcast at that time, it's in the middle of the national anthem. The camera goes up to one of the stanchions, and there's three kids clowning around.
Oh.
And the father is standing behind them, and, like, desperately trying to tell him to get it together, but also doesn't want to go viral for screaming at his kids during the national anthem.
Yeah.
I felt bad for that dude because they were, like, 12-year-olds at the peak of, like, oh, boy, wait until I get you home, but I can't do this in public. I felt bad for that dude.
Yep.
Especially because then two of the kids might have been, like, friends of his son or something.
Yeah. So then you're the overbit. Then you're the dad who's the curmudgeon. Like, hey.
And you're on camera. You're on camera. And you're like, all right, what do I do here?
Yeah, that sucks. This is a good one. Drafting three times. This is an answer to the question I just posed, which is if you're somebody who's disappointed the Texans didn't pick last night, what can they do today that would get you back on board? Drafting three times in the second round would make me a little happy, somebody said. So maybe using two of those thirds to move up into the higher part of the second round to get a guy.
Look, and the payoff on it is, we know this, that the first round has name brand appeal. The second round is people are skeptical as hell of Kamari Lassiter,
dude,
until Kamari Lassiter shows up.
People were mad that the Texans didn't take Kool-Aid McKinstry, the pick before Kamari Lassiter, and I think 90% of it was they liked the name Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, like it gets a little silly here. Like these guys are very, the guys that are still sitting here right now are by and large very similar to the guys that the Texans passed on at 25 who ended up getting picked throughout the rest of the round, just in terms of the caliber of player, you know. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. A lot of people weighing in. We'll continue to mix in your opinions. Mock draft injection. You think they're done when the draft starts on Thursday, but when your team has five picks in the second round, what do? You go and find a mock draft for day two. Mock draft injection for tonight is coming up next. All right, we've been digging heavy into the Texans today. The move last night, 25th pick gets traded. They trade with the New York Giants. Giants move up from 34 to 25. They draft Jackson Dart. The Texans move back to 34. They pick up an extra third-round pick this year, so they've now got three third-round picks tonight, and they pick up an extra third next year. They've now, in 2026, got their own first-round pick to go with two picks in the second, third, and fourth round each next year. So they've got seven picks next year in the first four rounds. That'll equate to five in the top 100. You know, usually the end of the third round, that's when the comp picks start coming in. Usually it's, the end of the third round is about pick 100, thereabouts. So they're pretty well set up in terms of draft capital to either use it to pick players or go do things tonight. If I had to guess, Seth, as we're about to dig into a mock draft for tonight from Chris Trapasso of CBSSports.com, I respect these guys that stay up until 2 in the morning doing a mock draft for tonight to get it out there on the internet before guys like us wake up.
They're auto-loading this thing.
Whatever. You know they're doing something. Yeah. Dude, I was so ready. They're sitting at a computer having to post something. At 12:30 at night, I respect even just that instead of going to bed. I was tired last night.
Yeah.
So Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, we'll get into in just a second. You know, this is one of those things. He's got the Texans using all five of these picks. He's got no trades in here. I think
the one thing
I'm pretty confident in is as the Texans, Seth, sit on 34, 58, 79, 89, and 99 overall picks tonight, that they will not use all five of those picks themselves to grab players.
Mm-hmm.
There will be trades tonight, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do this, all right? So this is, and this might be a proof that they were auto-loading.
Yeah.
With the 34th overall pick in the Chris Trapasso CBSSports.com mock draft, Aggies will be happy, I guess, or maybe not. I don't know. Tell us, Aggies. Nick Skirton, defensive lineman from Texas A&M, is the pick at 34.
I would be really surprised if it was Nick Skirton. An edge rusher. Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're going to a tiebreaker for whether you got guys equally rated and you want to go for something that can make more of an immediate impact.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a 257-pound edge rusher.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that can move inside and play defensive tackle on third downs or anything else like that.
Bad pick.
So, yeah, I would be really, really surprised if the Texans draft Nick Skirton. And I know the fans would be upset about it. Even people who like Nick Skirton would say, like, what the hell are you doing here? Wait a second.
Yeah.
You left Travion Henderson on the board?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, along those lines, Seth, hey, Ben, real quick, with the 35th overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select Luther Burden III, wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
So not only are you passing on him there, a very talented wide receiver, he's getting drafted by the team that just drafted Cam Ward with the first overall pick. You know, you're getting a weapon for a quarterback in your division there. So,
did you say 35th pick, right?
35th pick for Luther Burden.
Okay,
yeah, yep, 35th.
I thought you said 33rd pick, and then I got all screwed. Like, boy, I am genuinely not with it right now.
Nope,
okay.
35th pick. All right, so let's look at by the way, real quick, with the 37th overall pick, the Las Vegas Raiders select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback.
Ah.
So that's where he ends up going. Boy, this is going to be an interesting thing for Shedeur, who couldn't shut up about changing the culture everywhere he's been.
Mm-hmm.
He will likely be a backup wherever he goes now, I would
probably
imagine.
Probably. Well, other than the Browns, I think he'd have an honest chance. It's going to be him versus Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, yeah. You know? If the Browns try. I happen to listen to Cleveland radio this morning, and it sounds like nobody in Cleveland really wants them. They are, now that they've made that trade with the magnificent Gladstone, they're about the long play in Cleveland.
We're not afraid.
Next year's class of quarterbacks.
We know that the owners in Cleveland are not afraid to step in. And lately, what the owners of the Browns have been saying is like, we're really sorry we screwed up with the Deshaun Watson thing. It was our fault. Blame us. Blame us.
Yeah.
I don't think they want that kind of drama right there. The owners, I'll go, rarely do I say what does the owner want other than Jerry Jones. I think with the Browns, you're exactly right. I don't think the owners want any part of all the drama that would come with Shedeur Sanders. Whether you think it's not Shedeur Sanders' fault or not, they just don't want that drama.
Yeah. And especially now that they didn't take Travis Hunter, because that would have been some of the sell to the fan base, would have been your pairing those two guys. Mm-hmm. They drafted Mason Graham. They drafted a big white interior off defensive lineman.
Which, by the way, Mason Graham does not look the way.
Save it. We're doing a petty cast at 8 o'clock. Save it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do a petty cast. We're doing an emergency draft petty cast at 8 o'clock.
I got to think if you hadn't done it. Okay, I'll save it.
All right. Who else do the Texans take in this Chris Trapasso mockaroo here, the second and third rounds, with the 58th pick, which there's like a 70% chance they don't use. They're going to move up. Jonah Savanea, interior offensive lineman. Now, that from Arizona. That is a name that has popped up on the text page as to somebody that could help. That would help soothe some of the wounds that some of the people who feel wounded from the Texans moving out of the first round. Savanea is a name that excites some people.
No, and he is. He's played all over the offensive line and, take 40 times and whatnot with a grain of salt. But just sometimes they are a good just indicator of, okay, this guy's way more athletic than your average 324-pounder.
Yeah.
He had the second-fastest 10-yard split out of the offensive lineman. Okay. I care about that. He's explosive out of his stance, and he plays that way.
It matters,
So Savanea is a guy that we haven't talked a whole lot about because we were fixated on the first round.
Yeah.
We idiotic.
Here we are.
We didn't want to talk about the potential of Nick trading out of the first round, even though we damn well knew in our core beings that it was a possibility.
Yeah, man.
Savanea would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Savanea would provide a lot of what I think the Texans are looking to instill. He's got some work to do as a run blocker, but it's not that he's incapable of it.
Yep. All right, the last three picks here, 79, 89, and 99, which I feel very strongly that the Texans will not be using all of those picks to pick players. At least one of them will get mixed into a trade, but let's do it. With the 79th pick, Elik Ayemanur, wide receiver, Stanford. So a Stanford wide receiver with the 79th overall pick.
Now, who did the Texans take in the first one of this? That was so long ago, I don't remember. Or in the first pick in the second draft of this?
In the first pick in the second round? The 34th overall pick. They took the Skirton kid from A&M.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So they took Skirton. So they haven't taken, point being, they haven't taken a wide receiver yet.
This would be perceived as a reach, that this is a guy that could have gone in the third or fourth round, and or not a reach, but like, okay, it's
overdrafted,
not like you're getting good value or anything like that.
Yeah.
But there's, like, as it is with all of these wide receivers, I think that he's there's something missing that kept him from going higher. In his case, it that he's kind of raw and underdeveloped, and that you look at him and you think, okay, there's definite upside there. He's got the height, the weight, and the speed and all of that.
Yeah.
Reports on his work ethic are good. So, but he's going where he's going for a reason.
Yeah. The next one, the 89th overall pick, Barrett Carter, linebacker, Clemson. If you've watched Barrett Carter film, Seth, you're a better man than I am. Have you watched him at all?
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say that my thing with this would be that some of the guys still on the board here, there's some interesting value here. Deion Walker, the defensive tackle from Kentucky, massive human being who I've seen mock to the Texans in the second round. He's there on the board. Miles Frazier, the interior offensive lineman for LSU, is still on the board. Now, granted, you just took Jonah Savanea with a pick. Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa, who I think visited the Texans, is on the board here. This extra draft capital, if some of the upshot of this is they wind up with a running back that's a pretty good running back in this, that'll be something that really helps me process not getting Matthew Golden yesterday.
If Taylor from LSU were still available when they took Savanea, I would have been I would have preferred
the tight
Taylor
end
at that
Mason
point.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Jason Taylor's kid. He's son.
Oh,
of,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep,
yeah,
son of Jason Taylor.
Well, that's what's working against him.
Yeah,
he's a son of a legendary NFL player.
That's right. Oh yeah.
Nobody will ever draft a guy who's a son of a legendary NFL player
keeps
in the first round.
Keeps people down. Yeah. Kyle Williams is a name that's popping up on the text page as somebody the Texans could take that would make them feel better about things. For what it's worth, he's going with the first pick in the third round of this mock. He's the wide receiver. He's the wide receiver out of Washington State who was asked at the either Senior Bowl or Combine. I can't remember which. I think it was the Senior Bowl. Who do you pattern your game after? And he said Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. And that got Texan fans very excited about him. Kyle Williams out of Washington State.
And that would be, what's the overall pick for that?
He got picked at 65. I'm just saying there are
He was already gone.
He was gone. There are texters that are saying that if they drafted him, they'd feel better about the draft.
Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, you ready to do a petty cast, buddy? You ready to get petty? The things we were most petty about in last night's draft, Texans or otherwise, we will do an emergency petty cast coming up next. But first, West Point Lincoln. By the way, the other pick the Texans took in that mock draft was C.J. West, defensive tackle out of Indiana, just to put a bow on that.